Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville. FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry
God bless
Medlock.
You. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. Last week, the great flood had begun. It was raining 40 days and 40 nights. It had never rained on the earth. And Noah and his family and two of all flesh entered into the ark. But outside of the ark, the flood came and took all of the lost people away. Now, what does that have to do with you? Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes the second time. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood took them all away. So that means that we're going to face the flood because we're the generation of the fig tree. We're the end generation. Is it going to be rain? No, because he promised not to flood the land with rain anymore. It's Revelation 12. That old dragon, that serpent, that devil, that Satan is coming as the Antichrist with a flood of lies, calling himself God's Savior, Greek Theosarcha, with his fallen angels in the sky who are also lying. And they're going to go after the woman, Revelation 12. That means the elect men and women with a flood of lies. And do you know what that flood of lies is going to do? Revelation 13 says the whole world's going to go after the Antichrist. They're going to be taken away with a flood of lies. Remember, when you get taken, you've been had. So now, Noah and his little family, he's the only pedigree left through which Jesus may come. It's the only one that's pure enough. And he's got two of every kind of animal on there, clean animals, some to be eaten, some to offer sacrifice, and male and female to procreate. And also of the unclean, they are the scavengers and they clean up the waste. But also, he says, of all flesh, not only Noah, the Adamic messianic family, but two of every race. That's how the races were. So aren't they flesh? Yes, it said of all flesh, and two of the Kenites. So they were there 150 days, the flood, and 150 on the solar calendar is 5 months. Okay?
And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark.
If you would say that God would be on pins and needles in our human terminology, I would say that during this God was probably very anxious because of all the beings that he'd sent, this was the only pure line left so he could send his son, which was his salvation plan. So you better believe he was watching them. You know the thing about God is he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you.
And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged.
God is so good with wind. This wind makes the waters go down. Remember when Jesus was in the back of the boat and the hurricane came along and they were all going to drown and Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And the wind got still there. So he's very good with the wind. Why, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. So Jesus controls the wind. So he said, "Wind, I want you to go out there and dry up all this water.
Verse 2. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. 3. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days...
Okay, it was 150 days. Now remember, Jesus also said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end be. And so we know in the book of Daniel, as I told you last week, that the time of the Antichrist was originally 7 years. And in Daniel, it was shortened to times, times, and half time, which is 3.5 years. But recently I taught the book of Mark, Mark 13. Jesus says, I'm shortening this for the elect's sake, lest nobody be here when I come. And Revelation 9 gives us a double witness that it's going to be 5 months. There, that king of the bottomless pit is Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, both mean destroyer. That's the devil, that's the Antichrist, and his time is 5 months. The thing about that is, in biblical numerics, 5 is a number of grace, and we're saved by grace. You can stand anything 5 months, can't you?
Yeah. The waters were abated. 4, and the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month.
Okay, all this water, and suddenly the ark sits on top of a mountain. It stops. 7 is God's perfect number. 17 is God's number of victory. This is God's victory. This is God's perfect victory. Noah and his family are saved. So the seed line can continue. So God can send his son. So you and I can be saved.
Upon the mountains of Ararat.
Ararat, a high point.
5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And the 10th month, on the first day of the 10th month, were the tops of the mountains seen.
Oh, Noah could look out his window and see some of the other mountain tops. Things are looking up.
6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days... that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. 7, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth.
Okay, why did he send a raven? Now remember, God had told him to take clean animals aboard, fowl and everything. God would only use the clean ones that they're to be eaten. You can eat clean animals. Leviticus 11 will tell you what God says is clean and unclean. You also could offer for sacrifice, but he told him to take unclean because they are the scavengers that clean up the mess. A raven is an unclean fowl. Have you ever been driving along and you had to slow down because the road was blocked because some poor animal had gotten killed and the vultures were there? Okay. I mean, that is steak time for them. So he sends out a raven. This is so wise because he knows. See, the raven didn't come back. You notice he didn't come back. He said he just went to and fro. This means that the raven had found himself some delicious food, that wherever he went, he could find him a dead body, a dead animal or something. And that is what you call Raven Haven. Raven Heaven. Okay. And so he didn't come back. So that gave Noah a clue that at least the waters are uncovering all of the dead animals and people. So see, the scavengers serve a purpose, but you wouldn't want to eat the scavenger, would you?
Nope. 8. Also, he sent forth a dove from him.
Oh, okay. No raven returned. Now he's going to send out a clean. The dove is called clean. Now, any time in the Bible, when a dove comes up, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan? And when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit and the symbol of a dove lighted on Jesus. And a father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And remember at Pentecost when they were all waiting in the upper room and a mighty rushing wind came in and it was the Holy Spirit with cloven tongues of fire. And Jesus would say to Peter, Peter, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Jonah means dove. So dove always represents the Holy Spirit. But one more thing you need to know. This little story about this dove is really sweet and it's true. But you want to learn this about God. If you're going to love somebody, you got to understand their heart. God always speaks in three levels. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So everything he says, we go deeper. So the dove means anointing. Jesus, we call him Yeshua, Yahweh Savior. Christ is not his last name. It means the anointed one. So now, God can send out the anointed one. What's the little dove going to do?
To see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned it to him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth.
Little dove could not even find one little branch to light on, so it wasn't quite to get out of the boat. You realize that most people would have opened that door and said, boy, I've got cabin fever, I got to get out of here. But they could have died in mud. You know what I'm saying? Mud and all kind of diseased animals. They were waiting on instructions from God. Even after you've survived your trauma, wait for God to tell you the next step.
Then he took forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. 10. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. 11. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf. Plucked off.
Isn't that a beautiful little story? The little dove in the natural had flown and found a tree. And it's an olive tree. Olive, Eliyah, two of the names of God. We use the olive oil for the anointing to pray for the sick and cast out demons and so forth. And of course, that represents the Holy Spirit. But look, the little dove has the presence of mind to pluck off a little green leaf and bring it back to Noah. You know, Jesus, the anointed one, came. And God is saying the gospel right here. I'm sending my son, the anointed one, who will give you the Holy Spirit. And he'll go to you, children. You're called trees. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And you're to be olive trees. You're to have the anointing. The anointing destroys the yoke. You're to be anointed so that you can pray for the sick and win souls to Jesus. And then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf will not wither. And whatever you do shall prosper. What a beautiful gospel story right there in the story of the dove. Your leaf will not fail. Your leaf will not fade. My leaf does not fade, no matter how many storms. That's because that little dove has come to me and has anointed me, so my leaf cannot fade, and neither can yours.
So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth.
So that was a good sign.
12. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove, which returned not unto him again any more.
This time the little dove had found a nice great place to live. Maybe a tree branch, a little nest or something there. And remember, if the olives were there, and the leaf was green. That means there was fruit on some of the trees. Now, I know you're feeling very sorry for the little dove, aren't you? But don't forget, in just a few minutes, all those animals are coming out of that boat, and God's going to say, be fruitful and multiply. Everybody get to your corner, and let's start making some families here. And it's going to be a clean pair of doves, male and female, and they're going to quickly have some babies, and those babies are going to fill up the earth. And I believe those little baby doves found this dove. So the dove lived happily ever after.
And it came to pass in the 601st year.
Now, if you remember when I was teaching Genesis 7, verse 11, 1 year from that number we just read was when all of this began. I mean, this has been a traumatic year for Noah, has it not?
In the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. 14, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, 16, go forth of the ark.
Now, most people wanting to get out of the ark when they saw everything was dried up and the little dove didn't come back, it was okay, they would have gone on out. I want to caution you, God gives you assignments. Some of you just finished an assignment. Some of you have not accepted your assignment here. Some of you are now in your assignment. But once you've completed the mission, don't relax your guard. The devil's still standing by. Wait for God to order the next step. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I can tell you that when you're in God's plan and on his assignment, he knows how to bring the right person right before your face at the right time. He knows, and I'm not talking about so you'll get something, but so you can give something. You're to give, all of you are to go to the world and tell the gospel. It's so crucial. That is your commandment. That is your mission. And when you will start tomorrow, he will bring the person, if you will commit, to start the gospel going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wait for the orders from headquarters in all things. There should be nothing we do. We look like can-do people, and we are, because we're the hardest working people in the world, most dedicated. But what it is, we're listening to our commander-in-chief, our God in chief, telling us every step to take. And when we're not sure, we pause.
Thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. 17, bring forth every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh.
Of all flesh. Now, I heard a part of a sermon this morning, I guess, this morning, of someone misunderstanding all of this about the races. They didn't know that God created the races on the sixth day. So we're going to get in, the next time we get into this, the next chapter, chapter 9, about Ham and all of that, and we're going to put aside some fables that have been told about the races. God created all the races on the sixth day, Genesis 1:26. That word means mankind in general, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And he said it was very good. God's an artist. He loves color. I mean, no, I'm an artist. I don't want to paint the the same color every time. And so there's so much confusion about this. But the way the races survived, he took two of all flesh. Are the races flesh?
Yes.
Yes. How about the Kenites? Are they flesh?
Yes.
Yes. But you'll notice there are no fallen angels on there. No hybrid. Okay. So that's how they survive. Plus all of those animals and doves and beasts.
both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
But Noah and his wife, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, were only 8 souls. They were the only 8 Adamic souls, the pure pedigree through whom Jesus would come. So when you read in Peter and other places that it would say with 8 souls survived the flood, it means 8 Adamic souls. But remember, it says of all flesh, so you can't wipe out the races. They're still with us, so that's how they survive. Thank God.
Amen.
That they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth.
In other words, bring those animals out and everybody get to your corner.
18. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. 19. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever that creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord.
Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if you've been in a ship there for 5 months, you got cabin fever, you know that everybody's dead, your life is changed, the animals are changed, you're the only people, as far as you know, alive on the earth, at least in that area, and everything's changed. Most Christians would say, oh God, I survived that. Now I want you to give me a lot of food, and I want you to give me a place to live, and I want you to assure me that you're going to get this. No. He does what a true elect does. You don't go asking, you go giving. He gave the first fruits offering, the first fruits, the first thing, right there, built an altar, the first fruits. Now, let's see what it was.
And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings upon the altar.
Now see, he could have said, well, you know, we're getting a little short with the clean animals because you can only eat the clean ones of Leviticus 11. So, Lord, I'll just offer one to you. That would have been acceptable to God, right? Okay. In other words, I tithe, and my tithe is acceptable to God. I don't tithe into my ministry. I tithe into another ministry, somewhat like mine. And God would be happy with my tithe, but I'm not happy with that. I do the first fruit thing. So what he did, instead of saying, we're going to keep the rest of it to eat, Lord, you don't mind, we've survived this, let's just give more. Let's give, we survived, praise the Lord, let's just empty it out, let's give some more. I found that every time I go through a thing or I start to move, and when I start to move again, first thing I'm going to do is get my checkbook, and I'm going to write more than I ever written before. It's just the way you do it. It's first fruits. You're so grateful, and you give your heart, and you give your love, and you wrap it around, you give your praise and your prayer, and you add more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God loves a cheerful giver.
Sure.
Now, is God going to accept that? Would God say, no, don't be hasty there. You want to be a good steward of your money. You're always a good steward of your money. When you give it to God, he's going to give it back.
21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor.
The Lord smelled a sweet savor. This had to touch our father's heart. He knows they were traumatized, and he knows they could have said, we need to save these clean animals for food rather than sacrifice them. But he saw that the first thing they did was to build an altar. I want you now to build an altar of yourself. You be the altar, and don't ever get up off of it. Put yourself on it. All your love, all your heart, all your prayer, all your praise, all your time, all your energy, all your money, everything you are, put it on the altar. First fruits. Oh, it'll come up to God as a sweet-smelling perfume in his nostrils. Not every offering that Christians give smells good. Some causes a stench in his nostrils. When you give because you ought to, I guess I should. Or you just write it coldly, the check, or throw it in. You haven't prayed, you haven't danced, you haven't sung. You know what that cheerful means? Hilarious! Extravagant! Joyful! A part of my ministry is every morning of my life, I shut up like a recluse and pray to God for other people. It's intercessory prayer. I have had to fight for this because the world will interrupt you. And it's quite a few hours every morning. It gets close to where I have to need to do other things. But I do this because there's so many people that God has brought into my life. And I always ask before I begin, please accept this prayer as a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils. Let your love smell good to him. Let your heart smell good to him. Let your praise, your life, your giving, your deeds, your worship smell good to him. He deserves a sweet-smelling savor.
And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake.
You know what God said then? I'm not going through this again. It was too hard for God. He had given everybody a second chance because of Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. And now look what we had done. It broke his heart. I'm not going through this again. I've been through things that it was so horrible, I would say, I'm not ever going to go through that again. Haven't you?
Yep.
Yes. But the imagination of man's heart was evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done.
He said it again. I'm not going through this again. It broke his heart. He loves his children.
22. While the earth remaineth.
Now I want everybody under the sound of my voice to memorize this verse. Genesis 8:22. Everybody say that, please. Genesis 8:22. This is God's answer to global warming or climate change that the socialist communist people, politicians, want to push down your throat. All of that global warming mess they are doing is to raise your taxes and control every part of your life. Let's see what God says about this. While earth remains,
seed, time, and harvest.
We're going to always have seed, time, and harvest. You sow a seed, wait a little while, you get a harvest. Well, how long is earth going to remain? World without end. Because after the great white throne judgment and everything's rejuvenated on planet earth, God the Father's bringing the heaven of Jerusalem down here. He's going to live with us. So we're always going to have seed, time, and harvest. I'm so grateful. This is the greatest, one of the greatest gifts God's ever given to you. It's called God's law of reciprocity. Whatever you need, plant a seed for it and wait a little while and God will give you harvest. I needed something, so I gave something, so I'm wearing a new outfit. You didn't know that, Angela, that I had done that, because I kind of needed some new outfits, so I gave something away, an outfit. See, it's so simple. You need money, you give money. You need love. You're lonely? Go be the friend that some other lonely person needs. You'll get a friend. You see what I'm saying? All you have to do is plant a seed. It's God's law of reciprocity, and the harvest will come back. So thank goodness that's going to be here. But what does that have to do with global warming? Listen.
And cold and heat.
Cold and heat.
And summer and winter.
Twice for emphasis. Cold and winter.
And day and night shall not cease.
shall not cease. There you have it. Now I want everybody under the sound of my voice, politicians, Christians, non-Christians, all people listening to the radio, I want you to get this verse, and I want you to email it to your congressmen, to your senators, to the government, at your newspapers, and I want you to get it out. Ask your representatives to please say, here's what God says about it, when they're trying to argue about it. See, we all need to say, but God says. Do you understand?
Amen.
You say, but they won't believe it. That doesn't matter. Somebody's going to believe it. I believed it. Okay, so there you have it. Now, that's your job. That's an assignment. This is something all of you listening to me now can do. Go home and get the email. All of your congressmen, send it to the president. He does not believe in global warming. He knows the truth. But it would be nice to have the scripture to back you up. Genesis 8, 22.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Okay, everybody, get busy. Let's have some families here so my son Jesus can come through your lineage.
Verse 2, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea.
He had told us in Genesis chapter 1 that he gives us dominion. Now that doesn't mean that you're cruel to them, but you have to show the animal who's boss. If you've ever tried to ride on a horse on which no one had ever ridden, the horse is going to say he's boss. He's going to try to throw you off, but you have to show him who's the boss. I often think about Jesus telling his disciples, go find a colt, the foal of an ass, on which man has never ridden, and bring him to me. So Jesus climbs up on this bronco, this donkey. Nobody's ever been on it. Normally it would buck and scream and yell and throw him off. It didn't even whimper. You know why? It knew that Jesus was the boss. It knew that Jesus was in control. So see, you have to let them know that you're in control. Now, you also have control over scorpions and serpents. Luke 10, 18 and 19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents. That means devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So symbolically there, you have power. You and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus can wipe out anything coming your way anytime.
Into your hand are they delivered. Verse 3, every living thing that shall be meat for you.
Now he's not talking about unclean things. He's talking about the things that are clean to be eaten, which, by the way, are written in Leviticus 11.
Even as the green herb have I given you of all things.
In other words, you may eat clean meats. In other words, I bless you. I'm going to provide all the food you need. You're going to have meat and vegetables. Those good beans coming up out of the ground, herbs, healthy food, meat and vegetables. I'm going to provide for you, says God. Don't you worry. Yahweh Yara, God, our provider.
4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
He gives them just one little clue. Now you may eat the clean animals, like the cow. Yes, you may eat cow. You may have beefsteak, thank goodness. You may have chicken. But if when you kill the cow, and when you kill the chicken, don't immediately cook it. He says to bleed it first. In early American, they used to do this right there on their farms. In other words, don't let the blood putrefy. God's giving them a little practical advice there to get going. It's a new beginning. And if you notice that God is blessing them, well, they blessed God with their first fruits offering. It wasn't so much what they put on the altar, though it was just about everything. It was the love that they wrapped that offering in. always wrap all you do for God or for other people with pretty pink love, and God will bless you too. We'll begin right there next time. God bless you. Well, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of life. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Miss Sherry. How are you doing?
Great.
That was really good today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Interesting.
It is very. Our question today is lies everywhere. Why?
You said that good. Scott's been around me, knows we're going to say that with gusto. Lies. Well, because the devil is the father of lies. John 8:40-44, Jesus says, your father is a liar. He's also the father of a murderer. And when people lie, they murder or assassinate your character. Look what they did to Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, he was almost gone there. Thank goodness that turned around. God answered our prayers. And look what they've done to poor President Trump for 2 years, just lied, called him a traitor. And I mean, he's just giving his life away for the United States of America. It's murder. It assassinates your character. The devil is doing this through the enemy that's come to destroy our soul. Most of those are the Kenites, and they lie just like their daddy. And the devil's doing it because he knows his time is short. That's why.
And they even believe their lies. You know, he blinds their minds.
They do believe their lies. They actually believe it. They, you know, it's, you know, Paul said that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, if you want to believe a lie, I'll just let you go ahead and believe it.
Yes.
I guess they lie so much they think that's the truth.
Yeah. And David?
David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The Lord of hosts shall defend them. They shall devour the enemy with the Lord's weapons. They shall drink of the new wine and make a noise unto the world within God's glory, covering the earth. Zechariah 9.
That is so great. Thank you very much, Scott.
Oh,
we appreciate
welcome, Sherry.
That. That's
great.
So great. In a moment, I'm going to pray for everyone sick. So if you got any sick loved ones, gather them around them. Your smartphone or however you're listening this or radio. But first of all, let me pray for those of you who have lost. The most important thing for everybody right this minute is to secure your eternal salvation. So please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Ready? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To tell the story of Jesus.
To tell the story of Jesus.
To others.
To others.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that in a minute, my announcer, Scott, is going to give you my telephone number in a little bit and get the number and feel free to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. We pray, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, that muscles and tendons and ligaments will be in their proper order in everyone's body. Every muscle where it needs to be, every ligament and every tendon, and let the bones and the backbone and the spine straighten up there. Hey, in Jesus' mighty name, glory, hallelujah, pelvis right in there, the small of the back, that the vertebrae be straightened out, crooked ways made straight in Jesus' name. Stomach aches stop in Jesus' name. Lining form the stomach. At ease, at ease, at ease. Strength, vitality, renewed energy be in you in Jesus' name. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Praise you, the Lord. Father, thank you. We give you glory. You're Yahweh Rapha. You're the Lord who heals. We thank you for that. If you were healed then, you might want to also call and tell me that. I want to give a shout out to Scott Mercer. Thank you so much for your Scott stuff.
Oh, thank
we appreciate
you,
that. You're such a blessing and your beautiful family. You're all invited to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., for this radio broadcast, and then we pray for everybody after that's over. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying I love you. And the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. I love you, and I'm going to see you here next time. Same time to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou has been, not forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have. thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Thank you. voices louder still. Our God is near, our God is here. Oh, lift your voices louder still. Our God is near, our God is here. Oh, lift your voices louder still. Our God is near, our God is here. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
The heavens declare your glory. The skies sing the work of your hands. And day after day, they call out and say, believe. The oceans are telling your story. Over and over again. Wave after wave, they call out and say, you've lifted our heads and opened our eyes, and this is our declaration. We believe. You to tell you we believe.
I was doing 85 down a dead end road. I was running from a past that wouldn't let go. Looking in all the wrong places, trying to find something to have faith in. I was praying to a God that I didn't know, I didn't know. Ooh, you met me in a desperate place. Ooh, that's where everything changed. Got a brand new song playing in my soul. This fire burning deep in me. I'm a child that's chosen. Chains are